Amen. You pray for me. Kind of short on a group tonight. Y'all pray for poor Hannah. She took a job and they told her she wouldn't have to work Sunday, and they put her on. They called her in this evening. She was crying and upset. So y'all pray for her. I told her she don't have to go back if they call her in next week. We're going to do something about that. But anyway, thank God for being saved first. And I want to give God the glory for saving me and being good to me. But I want to say secondly tonight, men are just men and they're just human. But I want to thank God for my pastor. It's kind of, he's sitting right here. Amen. But I thank God he did run buses by my house when I was a kid. And I appreciate Brother Danny. And I like this old song. It says, thank God for the preacher. Amen.
As I walk down the sidewalk of a sin-stricken city, I see the misfortunes of man. A man in the gutter, lying there lifeless, clutching a bottle in his hand. He was some mother's darling baby, some young man's father, now he's a prisoner to sin. No hugs in the morning, no family altar. He gets by the best that he can. But thank God for the preacher who told me of Jesus, for I'd be a mercy was heard. Though his sins were many, his burdens heavy, he took the Lord at his word. Listen, there was rejoicing as he was forgiven. Shouts filled the church house that day.
I could see old Joe Parson tonight. I'd hug his neck. He's the man of God that preached the night I got saved. I got saved before he preached, but he prayed God in that place. And I'd like to hug his neck. And I'm going to one of these days. Amen. When I get to heaven, I'm going to see his face. And I'm going to do that. Got me on, brother? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Let's get our Bibles out now and get ready. Everybody get your Bible out. Get ready. Study here a little while this evening. Amen. Now, I said this morning I was going to talk about raising kids tonight. We're living in a generation Every parent here needs all the help and advice and encouragement you can get on raising a child in this generation. The world tonight is after your child to push them away from you, God, Bible, and everything that's right. TV, the world, music, Hollywood, entertainment is constantly encouraging your child to do everything opposite of what you want them to do. That's the battle that we're in. The reason I say bring them to church, bring them to church, bring them to church, bring them to church is because we are in a battle every single day about raising our children. And if you don't believe it, you're going, when some of y'all's kids get just a little bit older, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't get them when they're young, you're losing the battle. I read the other day, this is hard to believe, but studies say that by the age of 4, a child has formed half of its intelligence. I didn't say it knows everything. I'm not talking about, of course you know stuff more as you get older, but the way they learn, the way they proceed, just how smart they are, is largely determined before they're 6 years old. And you can see it. You can see it. When a kid grows up and they're real smart, people say that. Well, I seen when he was a little kid, he was always like it. Don't you remember saying that? Don't you see people and you say, well, ever since they was little, they was like that. However they are right now, that's how they're going. And you the one that's got to steer them in the right direction. I told you the other night, I had two sisters and still have one sister. My middle sister, Debbie, who's a year and a half older than me, she was so perfect it made me sick. She always done her homework. She always kept her room clean. Her clothes were kept full. She had her clothes laid out every night what she was going to wear to school the next day. Made me sick. I mean, she always made straight A's. On the other hand, I found out how smart do you have to be to play basketball? That's all I want to know. If you had to make a 70, I made a 70 and a half. That's how smart I want to be. And I'm not saying that's right. It's wrong. It's not good. You ought to do the best you can. But I fooled around and didn't try my best because I was natured to just pull the other way. Other kids are very studious. They love to go to school, love homework. Love to do that. I don't know what's wrong with them. But some kids just as wild as a buck when they're little. I mean when they're little. So you've got to recognize what kind of child you've got, and then your task is to pray, read the Bible, take them to church, and guide them in the right way. You can take a little twig out there in your yard this big and bend it real easy, and it'll grow a certain way. When that thing gets a little bit bigger, it's harder to bend. And you let it get about that big, you're not going to bend it. That's where a child is. When they're little, you can bend them a certain way. The older you let them get, the harder they are to bend. And I'm telling you, if you don't learn to control a child when they're small, that child will control you when they're big. Now let's see, we're going to do a little Bible study here tonight. Start off slow, and I'm going to try to help you. We are sure... you say, well, Brother Danny, the way you're talking about raising children is old-fashioned. Yeah, the new-fashioned way sure ain't working, is it? Are kids better behaved now than they used to be? No. Are we better off now? Are kids more mannerly now than they used to be? Do kids show more respect for elders now than they used to? Absolutely not. I'd be careful before I knock the old Bible way of raising children. I'd be careful before I criticize people for believing you ought to raise children according to the Word of God. Now, just because some nuts abuse it does not mean that we abandon what the Bible says about raising kids. There's always crazy people that abuse what the Bible says, and this makes people think, oh my goodness, you can't do that, you're crazy, if you beat your children, you're awful, you ought to be put in jail. We're not advocating that at all. I tell you what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to show you how the Bible says for you to discipline your child. Let's look in the book of Proverbs, And we'll start there tonight in Proverbs chapter 13. And then I'm just going to read you some scripture here this evening and then bring you a few thoughts, please. If you'll listen, give me attention. Proverbs chapter 13. And you mark these scriptures in your Bible. I did not make this up. I'm just telling you what God said. Proverbs chapter 13. And we'll start tonight with verse number 24. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. Every parent, mark these verses and get your feet on the ground and know what you're doing. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now hold your finger there. We're going to look at some other scripture in the Bible. That verse says, if a parent never spanks their child, they are not doing that child right, and their heart is not right toward that child. Now you can say whatever you want to say, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but this modern generation is not going to improve on what God said. I don't care what you say. You know, we're living, if you listen to this world long enough, they'll just about have you convinced that any kind of corporal punishment, spanking, anything, is wrong. Because I heard them on TV one day, and they said, well, you're telling this little kid hits another little kid, so you're going to hit it to teach it not to hit? Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because Bible spanking is not hitting. And Bible spanking is not beating in abuse. And Bible spanking is not abuse. The Bible says, and this will stand when the world's on fire, people. The Bible says here in verse 24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. There's going to come a time when that little child is going to need a Bible spanking. And notice the Bible uses the word rod. It's a little hickory switch, about as big as that thing right there. And it's a rod. And you go, like that right there. And you just go, like that right there. And that will get the job done. That'll get the job done. It'll get the job done. The Bible never teaches to be mean to a child. The Bible never teaches to abuse a child. The Bible never teaches. Anybody that'd be mean to a kid ought to be put in jail. Anybody, you heard me say that now, didn't you? And everybody on the radio listening, you hear me say this. And everybody on the internet listening, you hear me. If a person's mean to a kid or abuses a child, they ought to be put in jail. But I'm telling you tonight, the Bible teaches this kind of corporal punishment and spanking with a little switch like that right there. A hickory switch, as we would call it. Alright, let's go to chapter 22. We're in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22 and verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. This verse says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Now that verse does not say, we talked about it Wednesday night, that verse does not say, take a child to church all his life and he'll turn out right. It didn't say that. You ought to, but that don't say that. That verse does not say if you'll make a kid brush his teeth every day and go to church, that he'll turn out right. It didn't say take him to church every Sunday. How many parents I've had tell me, down just here, brother, how many parents have I had tell me that, Brother Danny, I don't know what happened to him. We took him to church all his life. That ain't what the verse says. The verse didn't say, take a child to church all his life, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. It said, train him. Training is a lot more than going to church. Training is something you do at home. Training is something for you go to bed at night. Training is something that you, while you're going down the road. My mom used to tell me all the time, she said, Danny, talk to them, talk to them, talk to them. She said, you don't have to spank them so much if you talk to them. She said, talk to them. And I picked that up from her. Well, you know, some of the best ways you'll ever teach your child is when they're not in a classroom setting. When you're just going down the road, you're teaching them things. Just talking, talking, talking. I do that to them kids at camp. Same, I tell them all the time. They'll say, well, it's, you know this, right? And I'll say, well, you know that kind of music will make you think bad stuff. And I'll say, you know, just little things like that. Just stick it in there, stick it in there, stick it in there, stick it in there. Just continually inject little things into your conversation about the Lord and about the Bible. Make them think right. Help
them to think right. Continually talk about God. Now, you know as well as I know, the problem that most people can't train up a child the way they should go because mama and daddy ain't right with God. And God's the father's thing in their mind a lot of times, so they can't train up a child. And the child's one that suffers the consequences. That Bible said, train up a child in the way it should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Well, let's get another one here. Chapter 22 and verse 15. Same chapter. Verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Amen? That's a very self-explanatory verse. You need no explanation of that. Every little kid has foolishness bound in their heart. But the rod of correction will drive it far from him. See, that's what that verse means. That's what that Bible verse means. Some little old kids, Lord have mercy. You heard me tell a woman comes out of Walmart and she's got one about that. Hey, he's about 2.5 years old and she's coming out and he's going, ah, 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 and she's dragging him. And he's embarrassing her, you know. He's like, come on, baby. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. And he's like, oh, boy, I'll tell you, I'd hate to admit that I let a little 35-pound devil tell me what store I can go in and how long I can stay. I ain't going to do it, buddy. I ain't going to do it. And if you let your kid control you, you're doing them a bad favor and yourself one too. Amen? Foolishness is bound the heart of a child, but the rod of correction would drive it far from him. I'm not saying be mean. I'm not saying hurt them. I'm not saying abuse them. I'm saying, look, you little brat, you are not going to run this household. Do you understand that? Do you understand? And he says, you say, well, Brother Danny, I didn't whip him. I mean, I whipped him and he still talks back to me. You didn't whip him. Like that lady said one time, those sophisticated, educated scholar looked at this old country lady and she said, he told about her father. And she said, my daddy wore me out when I, she said, I would have hated your daddy if he'd have hit me like that. And she said, if my daddy's your daddy, you'd have loved him for stopping. Amen. That's right. I'm going to tell you something tonight, but ladies and gentlemen. It will not hurt them. God's got a nice little place prepared there with padding on it where you ain't going to break no bones. I mean, it's all going to work out all right. They're going to be all right. The Bible said the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. I mean, used to, people had to go out and get their own torture weapons. How many of you ever had to go out and break a limb off a boxwood? Now, how come people don't do that no more? They'd go out there and they'd say, all right, buddy, you go out there and you break me a limb off that bush and I'm going to beat the fire out of you with it. One little girl went out there and she stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed like to never come in. And finally, he said, she come in, she going like, where's that limb? She said, I couldn't find one, but here's a walk you can throw at me. He said, oh, it's all right. I mean, that's awful, ain't it? They'll find some way to make you feel sorry for them if you ain't careful. That's right. They're cons. Them kids are little cons. You know that? They're cons. They inherit that from you. And they'll con you if you ain't real careful. They'll con you. They'll say, Mama, everybody's getting to do it but me. They'll say, Mama, that's not fair. They'll say, Mama, they'll run to Daddy when Mama says no. Or they'll run to Mama when Daddy says no. And I ain't got time to get into all of that. Lord, where's Dobson when I need him? Listen, bro, I ain't got time to give you a lecture on all that. But I will say this, and I'll get to that maybe in a little bit more, but when you're going to discipline a child, both the parents have to agree on it. You have to. You can't take sides against the other parent with the child. You say, well, Brother Danny, I think my husband's too hard on him, and I know there's people sitting in here right now that I'm describing, or I think she's too mean. She whips him too much, right? Well, if you feel like that, you have a right to feel like that. You do not have a right to tell the kid that. So if you're going to say, now you're going to get a spanking, and he says, sits down, he says, Mama, I'm looking for you to intervene. You're going to take up for me, ain't you? And she says, honey. He said, nope, he's going to get it right now. Now you better know the right here. You're going to get it right now. And she says, here's what you do, mamas, if you feel like it. Say, honey, could we go in here just a second? You stay right there, little brat. And you come in here and you say, look, I think this might be just a little extreme. Calm down. Go in here in another room and talk about it. And both of you agree and come out. I'm telling you right now, you are not doing your child a favor if you side up with the other, with a parent, with a kid against the other parent. You are not doing your... Now, if you're in an abusive situation and the daddy's hitting the kid, being mean to it, then call the cops on him. I don't know what to tell you to do. But if his Bible discipline is trying to do right, you should talk about it and agree and take sides against it. Don't you let him think, well, I'll get Mama on my side and we'll get you and you'll have to sleep on the couch. I've heard him doing that. I heard him doing that. Me and Mama. I think that some mama's got an unnatural relationship with her kid, and they're getting all their love from their kid and neglecting their husband, and that's why their husband might stray a little bit if he ain't careful. Amen? Just because you have a child don't mean you still ain't got a husband, woman. Don't put all your love in that kid. It's going to grow up and be gone one of these days. Put your love in your husband like you're supposed to, and the kid where it's supposed to. I didn't plan on saying all that. It just popped out. But I'm telling you tonight, brother, we can't side against each other with the child. Wrong. It's wrong. You say, well, how are they doing them wrong? You're doing them more wrong. You're doing them more wrong. Well, I know people have babies, and poor old daddy has to live a single life for about 5 years. Well, I got to take care of baby. Well, then he shouldn't have to go to work. You expect him to do his job. You expect him to be good to you. You expect him to take care of you. Amen. I'm going to get off on all that. Look at chapter 23. Look at chapter 23, verse 13. 23:13. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Now that's about as popular, Lord have mercy, as working on the chain gang. But it's what God said. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. You want to keep your child out of hell? Discipline them with the rod. It don't say hurt them. It uses the right term. Look at chapter 29. Way over in chapter 29 and verse number 15. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Bringeth his mother to shame. I heard about this woman the other day. She said, look, kid, I don't care if our basement walls are cracked. Quit telling people you're from a broken home. You know, they'll go to school and tell stuff like that. They'll go to school and tell all kinds of things. They'll go to school and tell if you and your husband had a fight. I mean, and you say, well, Brother Danny, how am I going to... Listen, one woman had 12 kids, and they asked her how she had time to raise 12 kids, and she said, it really ain't no different after you get two or three. Two kids takes all your time. So five takes all your time. Ain't that right? I mean, if you got three, you ain't got no time for nothing else. So what's four? It's the same way at camp. I mean, what's one more? Just hand them something to eat. You know, throw them in the bathtub. I'm just saying, people say, well, listen, when you have children, you've got to expect to give them your time. Your life has changed. You're not a teenager anymore, just running around living for yourself. You have a responsibility to that child. Amen? Now, I'll say a few more things right about that tonight. And we'll talk about discipline just a little bit. You ever notice that a boy who wants to mow the grass, a boy always wants to mow the grass until he's too... when he's too young. As soon as he gets old enough to mow it, he don't want to. Ain't that right? I mean, when they get on that mower grass, I don't mow no grass. All them little boys want to mow. Little girls want to help clean the house, clean the house, clean the house, clean the house. As soon as they get big enough, they don't want to. That's a weird thing. Anyway, we're going to talk about discipline a little bit. Now, I don't doubt that there's somebody here tonight, and I don't know anybody, but I have no doubt in a crowd this size, there's probably some of you here tonight that really don't believe what God said about corporal punishment. You think, well, I just don't think it's right. I've never whipped my children. I don't think it's right. Now, you are entitled to that, and I'm not being ugly or mean, but you flat don't know what you're talking about. You are going against the Bible. I said you are going against the Bible. The same Bible that said thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt... The same Bible tells us to discipline our children in the right way, in love, with a hickory switch, with a rod. The same Bible. And you disagree with God if you say I don't agree with that. It's not me you're disagreeing with. It's the Bible, the Holy Bible you claim to believe. The same Bible tells you you're saved if you believe on Jesus. Same Bible promises you heaven. Same Bible tells us Jesus died on the cross. Tells us we ought to discipline our children. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong, friend. You say, well, I just believe there's other ways. I didn't say there wasn't. There is other ways. Spanking should be the last resort, not the first. It should only, I'll give you this. There are some children that very rarely need it, and a couple of them through life will do them. That's the truth. I've known kids that didn't maybe get but one or two growing up, and they got it real quick. They figured it out. Mom and daddy's the boss. But then you got others. I'm telling you, two times a day for some of them, brother. I'm telling you, I mean, if you don't believe me, and you might have one that gets it real good and does everything you say, and then the next one, you try that with them and it don't work. They're different as daylight and dark. You'd swear they wasn't kin to each other if you didn't know that they had the same mama. I'm telling you tonight, we're going to talk about that just a little bit this evening, and just give you a few thoughts about it. Amen. Spanking is a Bible doctrine, not hitting, not abuse, because people abuse this. A lot of people don't do it. It's like everything else in the Bible. You must be balanced. Discipline must be balanced with love. Two-thirds of runaways, teenage runaways, are victims of abuse at home. So don't forget that. Two-thirds of every kid that runs away from home have been abused at home. And so you don't want to do that. I've heard kids say this. Don't get mad at me. The kid will be doing something, and mama will be talking on the phone, and the kid, that high, will say, "Mama, be quiet." You can't do that. He can't tell you to be quiet. And the mom will say, "Oh, I'm sorry, honey, did I interrupt you?" No, people. No, ask the Lord, "Lord, would you give me a brain?" Mine's gone. I went to Disney World, never did come back. On vacation, "Lord, would you put a brain in my head?" You listen, you say, "Look, buddy, you be quiet." If kid tells me to be quiet, I'm going to say, "You the one's going to be quiet. And you ain't going to open your mouth again." You say, "That's mean." No, you're crazy. You know, we're nuts sometimes. We are nuts sometimes. And I don't mean that bad. I mean, we talk about people being crazy. I've seen Christian families, their kids literally boss them around. I'm telling you that. "Mama, Mama, come here. Mama, would you do that? Mama, bring me my tennis shoes." It ain't supposed to be the other way around. About nuts. We're all nuts. You know, everybody's really a little off. Somebody's talking about handicapped people. And don't get this wrong, what I'm going to say. It's funny. This guy had these handicapped people that we call nuts. And I don't mean this bad. I'm not making fun of nobody. We're all nuts. I'm off. You're off. We're all off. Just different degrees of off. And everybody is. Einstein was off. Nobody's perfect. This guy had these people that was off, and he had to keep them for a whole day, and he had a van full of them. Now you can't turn the recorder, don't tell nobody I said this. He had a van full of them, and he was going down the road, and they said, "Now you keep them," there's about eight of them, and he was going to take them to a baseball game or something, and he went around and he said, "All right, everybody sit down." They all sat down. He said, man, these people's nuts and they do what I say. So he pulled in at the baseball game. He said, get out of the car, nuts. They all got out. He lined them up and said, sit down, nuts. All of them sat down. He said, man, this is a breeze. He said, all right, now when somebody hit the ball, he said, cheer, nuts. They went, woo! We got them a drink. Get something to drink. Drink your drink, nuts. They all drank their drink. So he went to the restroom. He called his boss. He said, man, this is the easiest thing I've ever done in my life. He said, they do everything I tell them. He said, I just have to say it. My goodness, these are the easiest people I ever took care of in my life. Everything I tell them to do, they just do it. Don't have no questions. He said, man, I'm going to do this all the time. I'm going to get paid for it. We come back out, and pandemonium broke loose. People are fighting, cussing, knocking each other down. Drinks are spilled. Little kids, mama, screaming and everything. He said, what in the world's going on? Somebody said, well, everything was fine till this fella come walking down through there and stood up and said, peanuts! Don't you tell nobody I said that. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'm talking to you tonight. We're nuts sometimes. I can't believe how unscriptural some of God's people think sometimes. Ridiculous. I'm going to tell you, brother, I ain't always been perfect. I've made plenty of mistakes, but I believe scripturally is the right way to do stuff. Everything. Marriage, raising kids, everything. Go by the book. You'll never go wrong by going by the book. Well, you tell a kid this. You're going to the dentist. I say, no, I ain't. Oh, yes, you are. You don't have a choice of whether you go to the dentist. You don't have a choice whether you go to school or not. You're going. Now, the same is true, even more, of church. How many people I've had tell me, they say, well, I don't want to force religion on them. That's something that they should choose on their own. I'm thinking, you don't let him choose to brush his teeth. You don't let him choose to eat his vegetables. You know what's wrong with some nut like that? They don't believe it theirself. If they believe there's a heaven and hell and Jesus is the only way to get there, they wouldn't give that kid a choice. Now, I'm going to give you these things right quick of how to discipline a child, and I'm done. 7 rules. Remember this when you're disciplining your child. Number 1, talk before you spank them. Talk before you spank them. All my girls are here tonight. I think, if they'd be honest, they're going to remember me saying, now look, you done this and that. Bend over, I'm going to have to spank you. Did I not say that, y'all? Sure did. You might not remember it, but I did. I sure did. I don't think you ought to just fly in a rage. I told you one time, I had a cigarette lighter when I was about 5 or 6 years old, and all I wanted was a cigarette lighter. That's what I wanted more than anything in the world, a cigarette lighter. I have no idea why. I just thought that was the coolest thing, that you could do that and make a fire. Well, I got down in the basement of the house and had me a little pile of sticks and paper and had me a little fire going in the basement. And Mom smelled it and come, and Buddy, she said, Buddy, you could have burnt the house down. I didn't even know I'd done anything wrong. She said, I'm telling your daddy Daddy, there's no telling what time he'd come in. I mean, he'd work 2 shifts and come out 12 o'clock at night or go coon hunting or something. Well, I'd forgot all about it. I was laying in the bed asleep, minding my own business. Just sweet little Danny. When I was that high, I was laying there. I mean, I was out and never, son, all of a sudden, all of a sudden the light came on. I mean, somebody swung the door open. All I remember is seeing the light come on. I was grabbing my foot like right there and just jerk. You ever been jerked out of the dead sleep like that? Bah! Bah! I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought God went to hell or something. I mean, that ain't the way to do it. He come home probably in a bad mood. Mom said, Daddy, build a fire in the basement this season. Well, it's burning out. Hey, buddy, he come in that door. He slung that door up. I'll tell you one thing. I never did it again. It worked better than what some of y'all did. Now, don't do that, honey. Now, honey, don't do that. I'm not saying Daddy was right, but I didn't ever do it again. I don't think you ought to do that. I don't think you ought to jerk one up out of dead sleep and beat it half to death. So this, I heard about this woman. This really happened. Her son was 18 and got a DUI, got arrested for driving drunk, and they went down to court. She got down there at the courthouse, and the judge pronounced a fine on him. That was a long time ago. It was like a $100 fine or something like that. And she stood up there with him like this, and he said, the judge said, $100 fine, like that. And she right back and just went smack and smacked him right in the face. And the judge sort of grinned and said, ma'am, for that, we're going to deduct 10% off of your fine. Because I see you're a woman that really wants to do it. She said, that ain't nothing. You wait till I get him home. He's 18 years old. 18 years old. I tell you what, I believe it was J. Frank Norris, one of them old preachers, said one time, his boy got out and got in trouble. And this is hard for you parents, but I tell you, it worked. His boy got out and got in trouble, and they said he's downtown drunk somewhere, and he called the cops. The preacher called the cops and had them go down there and arrest his own son and put him in jail and left him there. Didn't go his bond, didn't get him out. And son, when that boy got out, he straightened up, and I think he became a doctor or a lawyer or something. Got him an education and made something out of himself. You know why? Because he realized you can't get away with everything in this life. If they grow up thinking I can get away with anything and nobody can tell me what to do, they're going to have that same attitude with the school teachers, with the principal, with the police, and with God eventually. I'm not saying be mean. I know people abuse it. I know people are too hard on their kids. I'm not talking about nuts like that. I'm talking about Bible discipline. Talk first. Number two, keep your word. If you tell them you're going to do it, do it. Don't tell them you're going to do it because you're mad and then cool off and change your mind and not do it. You're teaching them that they can get away with it. Don't say, I'm going to tell you when you get home, I'm going to get... So all the way home, he's thinking, he'll forget about it. They'll forget about it. How many of you, your daddy never forgot about it. If he promised you one, you was going to get it. You know, all right. All right, didn't hurt you. It didn't kill you. You're sitting in church here tonight, ain't you? All right. Number three, I've already covered this. Husbands and wives agree. If you can't agree, compromise. Somehow. Don't disagree in front of the child. Don't be their lawyer. Amen. Send him to his room while y'all talk about it, and then let him come back out and do whatever you're going to do. Don't ever fuss and disagree in front of the kids. If you're going to argue, send them to the room, go outside, wait till they're asleep. I know I've been around a lot of people. I've traveled a lot, been around a lot of people. And I know people that 5 and 6 year old kids know all the family business, know they're behind on their bills, know everything like that. Have you ever seen, look here, mama said we're going to get kicked out of our house tomorrow. You know, kids don't have to know about stuff like that. A kid should not have to go to bed when they're 6 years old and worry about their bills getting paid. Yeah. Amen. You're nuts. You're nuts. Common sense tell you that. Don't talk about your problems in front of your kids. Don't talk about their daddy. Don't talk about their mama. Their mama may be the biggest low-down good-for-nothing in the world. Their daddy may be a drunk out on the street. Don't criticize them in front of the kids. Don't criticize your kid's mother to them. You're destroying something that God wants them to have. Well, number four, cooperate. I've done said that. Or he'll realize... You know, he'll realize we serve God around here. Number five, when you do spank, spank soundly. Don't hit, don't kick, don't be mean. Spank him in the right place, long and hard. And if he's mad when you get done, you didn't do it right. You got to break him. You got to break him. Like that kid said one time, his daddy told him, he said, now son, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And the kid said, well, give me that belt and I'll show you who it'll hurt the worst. We all say that, but the truth is it does hurt them worse. It hurts our heart. It does. It hurts your heart to have to spank one. And it really does. Man, I used to think, God, I hate to do this. Because you think they're going to hate me. And they're going to think I'm being mean. But you've got to do it. I have had many people have one that high and say, we can't come to church because we can't control them. That's sad. Spank soundly. Like that. With the switch, not your hand. If you're hitting them with your hand, you're doing it wrong. I'm telling you, you're doing it wrong. The Bible says the rod. The Bible says the rod. Daddy had a belt. I guess that's sort of a rod. Yeah. Limber a little thing. Number six, talk afterward. If you don't just leave them in there bleeding. I'm just kidding. Symbolically, just laying there dying, crying and everything. Lay them down and say, look, honey, I love you, and let's pray. You know what I think? I think if your kid hurts another kid, that your kid ought to have to tell that kid they're sorry. They ought to apologize. So you go to him, no! Okay. Come here, little boy. We'll take you in here. Don't spank them out in front of a big crowd of people. Take them in there somewhere. Take them out in the car. I have seen people just beat them to death right in front of the whole church so they can show everybody how great a parent they are. That's not the purpose of that. We had a kid used to sing in the choir like this. He'd be in the choir like this, you know, and he'd be like this, picking at other kids like that. So his daddy come down the aisle. His daddy come down the aisle and grabbed him like that. And he went out all the way out the door screaming, no! No! Don't hit me! No! Don't you! And it was funny. But that's the way they ought to be. Here's where a lot of y'all mess up. When the baby starts crying, like, I want to go to the nursery. I want to go out and play. I want to go back there and sit on the fireplace. I want to da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. When you pick them up, that's when they ought to start crying, not stop. See, when you pick them up and they go, I'm going out. They done played you for a fool. Amen? When you stand up, they ought to go, no, sit back down. Mama, sit down. Because they know what they're going to get when they get out there. And that's why we have a nursery. I've had ladies tell me, I don't trust the church nursery. But they'll put them in a daycare with a girl there with 49 tattoos and nose pierced and probably got high last night. And pay her to keep them. It's a devil in you, girl. Our nursery's as good as any one in Morganton. Amen? And probably cleaner. Say amen out there. You say, well, that's kind of some of those kids. Nah, wait till I go to school, you talking about nasty. I don't know, I wasn't planning on saying that either. Well, let me say this. The last thing is, do it again when necessary. There's your seven things. Talk before, keep your word, husband and wife agree, cooperate, spank soundly, talk afterward, and do it again when they need it. And that'll train up a child in the way he should go. Alrighty, I'm done. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Just come play something soft for Miss Desi. Maybe everyone.